take your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, we'll read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Genesis chapter 49, verses 1 through 4. While you're turning there, I'll read one other verse to you, James chapter 1, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, Genesis chapter 49, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." I'll read one other verse to you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 reads, "Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, this morning we gathered together and dozens walked these aisles for salvation and eternity was changed and you were happy again. But Lord, we're a sinful people. We're a needy people. We stand before you tonight in need. Our world is in turmoil. Some of our lives are in turmoil at different times here. Lord, please give our preacher the words tonight to help us so that we could do more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I'm going to preach a third part of a little series that I started on the subject of insecurity. I thought that we'd end with three. I think we'll go to four lessons, and that way I will not keep you late this evening. But I've been teaching and talking about this thing called insecurity. I am not what you'd call a secure person, and I realize you look at me and I stand here and I stand very boldly in the pulpit, but the truth is I struggle with this thing myself, and it's something that I've got to work on now, so I can teach you some things that I have learned, some things that I have learned about me, some things that I must help myself with. But in my counseling, and I counsel virtually hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in a month, and thousands of people over a year's time, boy, I see this, this thing that I'll call insecurity. The Bible doesn't necessarily use that word, but the concept, that it's there. Now, here in Genesis 49, verse number 4, the Bible says, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed." Now here, this is Jacob. He is on his deathbed. He's predicting his son's future. He speaks here of Reuben, his son, and this is what Jacob says about and to his son Reuben. He says, "You're unstable, and because of that, you are not excelling. You are not going to excel like you could excel." Now, folks, and every one of us have a potential. Every one of us have God has set some goals for our lives. Now, your goals are probably less than God's goals, but God has some goals for you. God would like for you to fulfill those goals. Now, you say, what is my potential? Your potential is from wherever you are right now, the distance between where you are now and where God wants you to finish up. In between there is your potential. It's the part of life. It's a part of you. It's a part of your character that is not yet fulfilled. There's yet part of you that needs developed. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for 60, 70 years. If you're alive, you're still to be growing in the Lord. Nobody here has achieved or completed their growth process, and especially as a Christian. Now, here, a father says to his son, "I want you to excel, but you're not going to excel because you're insecure. You're not stable." The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 14, it talks about those that actually beguile the unstable. There are people that zero in on folks with insecurities. They take advantage of them and they hurt them. The Bible uses this term unstable. The Bible has other teachings that talk to us about our insecurities. Now, the human race is frail. We put up a pretty good front. Everybody would like to give the impression that they're strong, but behind that front are some fears and some insecurities. Now, God is constantly trying to stabilize us and bring security to our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth or goeth with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Now that whole verse is God trying to stabilize us. It's God trying to bring security to us. It uses the words, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. You hear those words, be strong and of good courage, quoted word for word. You hear it or see it or read it in Numbers 13:20, in Deuteronomy 31:7, in Deuteronomy 31:23, in Joshua 1:6, in Joshua 1:9, in Joshua 1:18, in Joshua 10:25, in 1 Chronicles 28:20. Over and over again, God says, be strong and have good courage. Now, folks, God wants us to be secure, but not proud, but secure. God wants us to be stable, not arrogant, but stable. You know, many problems that develop in a church are caused by the poor behavior of insecure people. I promise you that. Now, God wants you secure. Remember, not arrogant, not proud, but secure. God wants you secure in your salvation. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." God wants you to know that you're saved. I have a know-so salvation. It's not a I wonder about it or I guess so. It's a know-so salvation. Now, again, I deal with people by the thousands. In my opinion, there are more insecure people in this world today than ever. I think in the church there are insecure people, and I'll promise you, out in the world, the insecurities are just multiplied at a great magnitude of insecurity out there. Now, I have very few problems with our folks here in our church, and I want to keep it that way. But when we do have a problem, you can almost always trace it to some type of an insecurity, an instability. It's not dealt with right. It's not dealt with well, and it complicates, and it can cause a mess. Now, I'm going to give you some observations, some things in my counseling, some things that I have noticed, even in my own life. I'm going to give you some observations about this thing of insecurity. Now, this will help us all. All struggle some with insecurity. But some are in a constant struggle. Some, your insecurity is way, way out of control. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt your family. You're going to hurt the things that you get involved in. And I don't want that for you. One reason why. I want you to excel. I want you to fulfill your potential. And Jacob said to Reuben, you are not excelling because you're unstable. Listen, even here in the churches, we're trying to be productive and do something great for God. We've got to get that security in our lives. We've got to get that stability in our lives so God can use us. And we want that. We want our spiritual potential to be fulfilled. I hope that the highly insecure people, and I've said this both times that I've spoken on this subject, I want you to know, I love you, and I want to tell you the truth. I want you to see that someone has looked at it, by the way, God has looked at it, and someone has looked at it, and they're trying to describe you to you so that you can help yourself and that you can strengthen yourself. But tonight, I beg of you, those of you that are highly insecure, I beg of you that you muster enough security to accept this teaching as sincere and helpful rather than being offended by it. I don't want you to be offended by it. Now, here's the problem. Insecure people, you get to talking about their insecurities, they can get offended real quick. They could get offended. It's risky to teach the unstable because they are so unstable, there's no way to know how they're going to respond to how you teach. They may love you or they may hate you for it. They may run to you because of it, or they may run from you because of it. They may defend you, or they may attack you because there's a certain amount of instability. Now, here's what I want to do. Take about 5 or 6 minutes, and I'm going to remind you of the first 2 weeks' lesson. I'm going to tell you the principle that I taught. Remembering, tonight is the third lesson on the subject of insecurity, and let me give you some of the things I've already said. I said, number one, insecurity causes us to have a hard time trusting God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When we're insecure, we have a lack of faith in our God. You say, well, then where do we put our faith? Well, we do the dumb thing of putting our faith in ourselves. That's not a real good idea. If you really take a good long look at that thought right there, we ought to trust God. He's never lied. He's never let anybody down. But insecure people have a very difficult time trusting God. They'll analyze the Bible instead of obey it. We ought to obey it. You're trying to figure out, is that a good safety net? Is it going to be okay if I do what God said? Is everything going to turn out okay? Let me tell you something. Do what God said. Everything will be fine. Just obey God. You say, are you talking about just blind loyalty to God? Absolutely. Total blind loyalty to your God. Just saying, God, I trust you. You see it all. You know it all. I'll just trust you completely. That's the wise thing to do. But insecure people struggle with that. I don't obey that. What will that cost me? Where's that going to take me? Look, just let God take you wherever He wants. So number one, insecurity causes us to have a hard time trusting God. Secondly, then insecurity causes us to struggle with trusting human leadership. 1 Corinthians 11:1. You say, well, I'm not going to follow any man. The Bible teaches that we're to follow men. If you don't believe that, just watch the first time that your 10-year-old boy said, Dad, I ain't following you, I'm following God. He's going to get adjusted real quick. No, the Bible teaches that there are times when we'll trust human leadership, but that doesn't mean we eliminate God's leadership. We are to add to our trust in God's leadership, the trust of those who He chooses to make our leaders. But insecurity causes us to struggle with trusting human leadership. Number three, insecurity causes us to see the negative first. Insecure people immediately see the negative in a situation rather than the positive. They're pessimists instead of optimists. They very quickly can see that negative. Let me go on. Number four. Insecure leaders quickly call upon their position for clout. Let me explain that to you if I could. Indeed, in leadership, there is a position that is to be reverenced, but leadership is more than a position. Leadership is a quality. And when someone struggles with their own leadership, they call upon the position for their leadership because they're a little unstable with the quality that they possess. And so you be careful as a leader. You've heard me mention this before. When the leader has to start yelling and saying, I'm the leader here, that means he is doubting that he is the leader here. He's worried at that moment. Leadership is a quality as much as it is a position, and I think we're to respect the position, but we're to possess the quality. Let me go on. Number five, insecure people don't stay anywhere long. They're not anchored. They're not rooted. They have the tendency to run. Let me go on. Number six, insecure people easily listen to gossip. You say, why? Because they do not have the confidence to tell someone to be quiet. Sometimes by listening, they feel like they're winning a friend and they're insecure about friendships and people liking them. They're afraid if they say, I don't want to hear it, somebody may reject them, and the last thing they want is rejection. They're not secure within themselves. Let me tell you something. If you stand and you do right, you tell someone you don't want to hear some gossip, you say, I might lose a friend, but you'll gain the favor of God, and that's far better than the friendship of man. But I said next, insecure people easily listen to gossip. Now listen to these next couple of points. Therefore, next point, insecure people then become prime candidates to become gossips. You see, the Bible says we cannot but speak what we have heard. If you're so insecure, you can't tell somebody to be quiet and you can't walk away from the gossip, then you're going to take that information into you. And I don't know about you, but I know about me. You tell me something, it's going to be hard for me not to tell somebody else that something. The best way to protect your mouth is to protect your ears. But if you don't have the courage to protect your ears, then you're going to have a hard time protecting your mouth. So someone that is so insecure, they listen to things they should not listen to, probably that insecurity then will multiply, and they're going to become prime candidates to become gossips. Now let me go on next. Insecure people then have a great potential of becoming evil. Evil. Now what does that mean? There's a difference in sin and evil. Sin is what you do that hurts you. Evil is when you hurt others. Evil is a launched attack, maybe on the character of somebody else. Now, understand the process here. You did not have the courage to say no to listening, so you took into you something that you shouldn't have listened to. As a result of it, we cannot but speak what we have heard, the Bible says. Now we've got something negative inside us. We're apt to say it. And if that thing gets out of hand too much, not only will we repeat what we heard, we will launch an attack on someone. It'll become worse than hearing some gossip and speaking gossip, but we are now prime candidates to become evil in life and hurt somebody and launch out an attack. Then I said this, number 9, insecurity causes us to make emotional decisions rather than principled decisions. Insecure people panic and then make panic decisions. And I said this to you last time I taught on this. Boy, if you say, I struggle with insecurities, then do this to yourself. Hey, if a situation hits you, an occurrence hits you, and that panic comes on you, stop yourself, slow yourself down, make no immediate decisions, because if you're not careful, you're going to make an emotional decision instead of a principled decision, because insecure people are grabbing for straws of security, and if they're not careful, they'll make a bunch of bad mistakes, because they made a decision out of panic, out of emotion. Everybody here needs to learn to slow yourself down, stop the world from spinning, work a little of that emotion out of what you're doing, look at your decision, look at it nice and in a solid attitude and say, now, what does the Bible say I should do about this? What would the preacher tell me to do about this? But if you're in panic mode, your insecurity will launch you into a series of bad decisions because you were making emotional decisions instead of decisions by principle and by biblical guideline. Number 10, insecurity causes us to blow things out of proportion. And in each case, I gave you scripture on all these. You see, insecurity causes us to blow things out of proportion. Insecure people, something happens, something negative happens to them, and brother, it just blows itself. It's swollen. Your problems are like on steroids in your thinking. I mean, bang! It's a sudden swelling, and it's overwhelming to you. And it's almost like you say, you know, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. It's over. Oh no! What am I going to do? I'm not going to make it. I can't take it. And there's a panic inside you. And that problem has been blown so far out of proportion, it's overwhelming to you. And you know, and you've been through the experience. If you give yourself some time, like I told you, calm down, don't make any decisions, so you're not making a decision out of panic, but you make a decision out of principle, get a good night's rest, you wake up the next morning and you say, well, I guess it wasn't that bad. I mean, 2 days later, you're going to say, well, I think we're going to make it. 3 days later, you're looking back saying, oh, I embarrassed myself the way I was acting. I cannot believe how I let that get out of hand. 4 or 5 days later, you're going around telling everybody how to overcome it. You've mastered it. Good. But insecure people, when the occurrence hits, we panic. And you've got to be careful that you do not let things get out of proportion. Your danger perception is off. It's got to be worked on. Then the last point that I've given you in the first two lessons is this. Insecurity produces false fears. The world would call it paranoia. We immediately expect the worst. We think people don't like us who do like us. We think somebody's against us who's not against us. We think somebody's out to get us who's not out to get us. In your mind, you're beating yourself up. You're beating your life up. You're beating up your potential on speculated negatives coming at you. And reality is, they're not even coming. You say, you think Brother Baja doesn't like you, but he does. Brother Baja looked your way in the service one day and then somehow you thought he was turning his nose up at you. It's been 6 months. You're scared to death of him. You won't talk to him. You don't want anything to do with him. And you think he's out to get you. And he likes you. You have in your mind allowed your insecurities and the devil to multiply that, and you have relationships that are suffering, your potential. Hey, you didn't join the bus ministry because you thought the man didn't like you. It was a lie of the devil. He has beguiled you. He's taken advantage of your insecurities. He's put in you false fears to keep you from doing something great with your life. And many of you have discovered this in your life. You thought somebody didn't like you. You thought they were against you. Really, once you found out, they do like you and they're not against you. Where did that come from? Well, you've got those insecurities, and the Bible says the devil, he works on those. He works on those. What's he trying to do? He does not want you. He does not want me to excel. I'll tell you something. If I would let my insecurities get the best of me, I couldn't preach. You know, I'm often asking myself, you know, I can look out into the congregation. There can be somebody sitting out there, and they laugh and they play while I'm preaching, and I can take it so personal. Like, well, what, do they dislike me? What did I say that was so bad? Truth of the matter is, they may just be a little bit tickled at the moment, and it has nothing to do with me at all. If I'm not careful, my insecurities will keep me from going forward. My insecurities will keep me from accomplishing. And remember, I'm not talking about becoming arrogant. I'm talking about becoming stable as a Christian. I'm not talking about being full of pride. I'm talking about getting some security about you that God loves you and God likes you and God wants to use you and everybody's not against you and this whole world's not against you. You've got some wonderful things going for you. Let's cautiously in humility go forward and accomplish something for God. Now let me give you a few more that will help you. Number next, insecurity causes us to have a hard time achieving balance. Insecurities will cause us to have a hard time achieving balance. The Bible says in Psalm 96:6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Now the Christian's goal is to have the right balance. We are to have balance in the Christian life. We're to have the right blend of godly characteristics in our life. But when we're insecure, especially if we're highly insecure, we frantically run to extremes in our life. Here the Bible talks about honor and majesty. We're to have both of those. Strength and beauty. We're to have both of those. Here's what happens. Insecure people tend to be tough, and then they get too tough, and then they realize it, and they run to tender, which is on the far opposite side. Then they become so tender, they're almost worthless. Then they're so tough, they're almost worthless. But they have a hard time getting the tough and the tender braided together in the middle. And we need to make sure that we get the balance of it. We're to have strength and beauty. We're to have toughness and we're to be tender. We're to be tender and we're to be tough, but we're to do those things at the same time. Insecure people, they'll get tough and rough and mean and mean and mean. Then they'll come to their senses and say, oh no, they'll come over here and they'll be soft and pliable and almost to the point where they love everybody, including the devil. We've got to get the blend. We are supposed to have strength and beauty. Beauty and strength. We're to have a blend of those. It's not to be this great big emotional ping pong game. When people, hey, when your family members are having a hard time reading you, what mood is she in? Is she lovey-dovey, 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 lovey-dovey? Or is she mean and rough and mean and rough? There ought to be a blend. Insecure people have mood and commitment swings. One day they're for you, the next day they're against you, and you're trying to figure it out, see how to approach them. They teeter-totter constantly between the extremes. We've got to get ourselves emotionally anchored in the middle. We've got to get a blend of toughness and tenderness that is a unique blend of a Christian. Making decisions are very difficult. Why? They're in a constant mind change. I believe America has become very insecure. Proof. Far left extreme in the recent presidential election. Some said, well, we've tried the tough thing and we've gone to war and we've taken on the world, so let's go to the far left extreme. We've been smarter coming right in the middle, getting that blend that needs to be there. So, what happens? I say to you, insecurity causes us to have a hard time achieving balance in our life. So let me tell you all what you've got to do. Those of you, you say, I tend toward that very strong, strong part, and then I catch myself and I go over that soft, soft part. Always be working on blending the two. Be working on taking your conviction and your compassion and making them a duet. Take strength and beauty and make them work in unison. Take honor and majesty and get them together. Don't run from one extreme to another. It's not supposed to be a big ping pong game where you're far right and then you turn around and go far left. We're trying to get that thing right in the middle so there is a good blend. That's what our children need. Some of you can be very glad. All of us can be very glad. Anybody's ever raised kids? You almost have one parent that's one thing and one parent that's the other. One parent that's a tough one and one parent that is a softer, more gentle. You know what would help? If we'd all get the balance. If we'd all get the balance. Some kids say, well, I thank God. My wife is tough, and I'm the more tender and calming one. But if you're all being real in your heart, thank God, because we often, somehow, God helps us to achieve that balance in the home, but it's not balance of the individual, it's a balance between two. One's really tough, and one's really soft. But what ought to happen is, we ought to be rearing our kids so they are tough and soft all in one. A whole package, the whole package deal. And that's what we're looking for. Let me go on. Next point. Insecurity can cause us to be deceptive. Psalm 62, verse 3 and 4, it says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain of all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Here the Bible's talking about some insecurity, something that's unstable. It's comparing some elements to man and man's spirit and the way man is. It talks about a bowing wall. You know, when you got a wall that's bowing out, there's something unstable about it. It's not anchored right. It talks about a tottering fence. The word tottering there is called, it's shaking. It's an unstable fence. Talks about a rotting frame. You take the framework of a home, you take a home that's built on piers, those piers are rotting, it's going to be unstable. And it says here, they delight in lies, there's a certain self-satisfaction. We want to cover our failures. If we're insecure, we want to cover our failures, and so we're willing to deceive others to cover our failures. When you lie, can I tell you why we lie? We lie to protect who? Ourselves. Ourselves. There's an insecurity. Well, you say, well, what's the answer to that? Just don't lie. Don't lie. But we deceive ourselves. We even deceive ourselves about how smart or how right we are. We lie to or about others to cover our own insecurities. Insecure people need to be on guard that they don't become known as liars. You couldn't achieve. And so when you didn't achieve, you lied about achieving. You did not succeed. And when you did not succeed, you could not handle the public pressure of not succeeding, so you lie about succeeding. You know something I make myself do? I don't tell the nation about how many people we have in our morning church service. I always talk about Sunday school on Wednesday night. You say, why? Well, among pastors, they're always concerned about how many people they had in church. You can go to conferences, first question, people say, well, what are you running? I say, we're running water at our place. I'll say, Wednesday night we had, and that almost throws them for a loop. When I say, well, Wednesday night we had, they want to know the biggest number. I try to keep check on myself. I'll just go to Wednesday night because I think that's the real backbone of the real core and the strength of the church anyway. But you see, if we begin to, if we're not adequate, and we feel inadequate, lying is a good way to cover our insecurities. And that's a little bit too realistic for some of you, but the reason why some people in this room lie is because you're so insecure, you can't face the fact that things didn't turn out the way you wanted, so you lie to cover it. So if you are insecure, be careful that you don't become a liar. Because your insecurities may cause you to become deceptive and not tell the truth. So, I said, insecurity Insecurity causes us to have a hard time achieving balance. We run from extreme to extreme. I said next, insecurity can cause us to be deceptive as we cover our inadequacies, as we cover our lack of successes or our failures. We cover because we want to cover ourselves, and we may even turn to deceiving. We may even hurt other people to cover our own inadequacies. Number next, insecurity can cause us to be mean. Stay with me now. It can cause us to be mean. Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." If you correct or seem to correct the insecure, they can become brutish. Some people are so insecure, if you go to correct them, they cannot take it. Why? You are about to reveal a weakness, and they're not about to let you do it. They've worked too long and too hard to cover them all up. They will virtually get angry. There are people who say, "You are not uncovering my weakness." Now, the right kind of leader doesn't correct to uncover a weakness. The right kind of leader corrects to fix a weakness. Parents, you know, we're not trying to take, you know, when the child sins, we don't discipline or correct them to take the sin out of them. We're doing it to guide them. That's the whole purpose of it, not to embarrass them. God didn't want us to go around trying to embarrass one another about our weaknesses. But when we help someone or we correct the weakness, it's because we love them and we want them to excel and fulfill their potential. But you go to reprove someone about a weakness, the Bible says if they're highly insecure, they will become brutish with you. They'll fight you. They'll get angry. Insecure people often feel attacked very easily. Sometimes even when you're not attacked, you sense attack when the attack is not there. You always feel like you're the victim, a wounded victim. You're walking through life as this wounded victim. And the slightest thing can happen and you immediately feel attacked again. And if you're not careful, watch out now. The Bible talks about becoming brutish like a wounded animal. They may launch an attack back to protect themselves. They feel threatened. See, being mean can be a characteristic of the insecure. See, out of emotion, they launch a verbal or a physical attack. Did you know something? Did you know that most bullies have been bullied? Most bullies have been bullied prior to them becoming a bully. They were hurt, and rather than going through life with the potential of being hurt again, they decide they'll just go around hurting. You say, "Well, that's a big tough guy." Probably insecure on the inside. The insecure person gets frustrated, usually due to a fear of their own inadequacy. Then they vent their frustration with themselves on others. You know, parents, let me tell you that something you have to be careful of. You want your children to succeed. There is not a mom or a dad on the face of the earth that feel like they know everything about child rearing. There are times when your own inadequacies about child rearing will make you angry at your child. You take it out on them when it's not as big a deal as what you make it out to be. You're the one that's struggling with your own inadequacy, and you're hoping a little bullying will snap them into line because you can't figure out what else to do. Insecurity causes us to be mean. It can cause that meanness that's unhealthy. Insecure people, there are times when insecure person will take on too much. And here's what will happen to them. If an insecure person cannot say no, or they cannot say, "I've just got so much on my plate, I can't take any more," they just keep on taking responsibility. They get in too deep and they get mean because of their fear of failure. Nobody understands them. Nobody knows the pressure that they're under. And that meanness comes out. Sometimes when people are mean, they're just overloaded. And they just didn't have the confidence to say, "I can't take any more on right now." But insecurity can cause us to be brutish. Insecurity can cause us to be deceptive. Insecurity can cause us not to achieve balance in our lives. Let me give you one more and we'll be done. Insecure people are schemers. They are schemers. Well, what's the whole purpose of the plotting and the scheming? To protect oneself. We're insecure. We're afraid. We need to find a way to hide ourselves. You take, for instance, the story earlier We read in the introduction about Jacob and how he predicted that Reuben, because of his instability, would not excel. Can I tell you about Reuben? Reuben was in on the story of Joseph. Joseph, the younger of all the brothers, was favored of his daddy, and dad seemed to love this young boy named Joseph, and all the brothers got real jealous of it, and they said, well, you're going to end up leading all of us, and you're the youngest one. And somebody said, let's kill him. Let's kill him. Reuben said, no, let's not kill him, but I have a plan. I will throw him in a pit. We'll take his coat. We'll smear animal blood on the coat. We'll take it back to dad and we'll tell dad that Joseph got mauled by an animal and we can get rid of him, but let's not kill him. Who was that? It was Reuben that was leading that whole scheming business right there. That's one of the reasons why dad said, Reuben, you're unstable. You were jealous of your little brother. You were afraid somebody was going to do more than you. Folks, listen, we should want everybody to do more. You heard me say this before. If Jeff Owens has any sense, Jeff Owens wants everybody that Jeff Owens has trained in the ministry to go out and build a bigger and a better church than I do. I don't want to be in competition with the people I've trained. I would like for them all to do better. Oh, but boy, do we have to work at that. We have to work at that. Insecure people can become schemers. And Reuben, he came up with this plot. It was a scheme. You see, in their own mind, they're always trying to keep themselves safe without their own weaknesses being found out, even if it means hurting somebody else. Insecure people almost think too much. They dwell on negative, and they dwell on their own negative a lot. Insecure people produce mental plots, chess games of the mind, embarrassing escape plans in life. Listen, God wants you and I to be of a sound mind. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be secure. God wants, not proud, not arrogant, but God, the ultimate goal in this thing of securing our life, anchoring our life, getting a certain boldness, not a cockiness, but a certain boldness. What's the whole purpose? So you can fulfill God's plan for your life. The Bible teaches us that when people are insecure, the devil plays mental games with their confidence. There are people in this room that could be doing far more for God, but you're insecure, and because of it, you got mind games going on. You almost play a whole game all week long in your mind about what's going on in the church, and there's not even a problem. There's not anybody mad at you. Anybody that doesn't like you. The devil's just got you in this panic, run and hide mode. You'll waste your life that way. The devil does not want you to excel. He does not want you to fulfill your potential. And so, God comes along and he says, I can help you. You're going to have to learn to trust me. I'll tell you this next week, and next Sunday night will be the last lesson on this. But do you know that your insecurities can launch you to greatness if you let them? They will either cause you to do something great. If God is allowed to work with your insecurities, those insecurities can help you to do great things. Some of the greatest leaders I've ever met were insecure people that let God work with their insecurities. You know, the thing of wanting to do something and do it right because you don't want to be embarrassed, that can produce some first-class results. But also those insecurities can run you in the ground and you can play mental games with the devil and somebody look at you wrong or it's all about you. And, you know, if you're very panicked, insecure, you could almost be mad about some of the things I've said tonight. Well, he's talking about me. I'm not talking about anybody. I don't have one single person in mind. I didn't have anybody in mind when I was preparing this. Now let the devil, he's going to squelch your potential and you won't excel. And we all